Welcome to Putela Escocia, the only English language podcast dedicated to Real Valladolid. Here is your host, Martin Dublin.
Hey there folks, thanks for joining me for another episode of Putela Escocia. It was great to be back last week for a whole new season, and my sincerest thanks go to everyone who listened to the episode and got in touch. Are you ready to go again? I am, so let's get locked into what's in the show.
Coming up this week on the Putela Escocia podcast.
Get the latest headlines from the Blanca Violeta camp after they opened their campaign on the Sunshine Island of Gran Canaria. The new La Liga Smart Bank season started on Friday night, but we had to wait until the late Sunday night kickoff to see our beloved heroes take the field. I'll give you a match review, my thoughts and opinions on the performance and the outcome as we began our quest to return to the top division against Las Palmas. Find out how the rest of the results went as the first match day was completed. Who are the early pace setters in the table and who need to pull their socks up already? There isn't long to wait until the boys are in action again, as this Friday night we are back on home turf to tackle Real Zaragoza. There's a lot of history between these two great clubs and I'll give you the full rundown in the match preview. I'll also give you the answer to last week's trivia question and set another one for you to think about this week. That's all coming up on the Putela Escocia podcast.
Get in touch with the show on Twitter at MartyRVCF or search Facebook and Instagram for Putela Escocia.
Today's headlines.
The first team kicked off their La Liga Smart Bank season on Sunday night away at Las Palmas. The match ended in a share of the points, with Marcos André opening the scoring for Real Valladolid after 54 minutes, but the hosts drew level 10 minutes later through Jesse. Remember him? There was a late dismissal for Benito as the Las Palmas left-back picked up his second yellow in injury time. We'll have all the action and reaction in the match report after these headlines. In training this week, defender Javi Sanchez, who left Friday's match in the 76th minute as a precaution, showed no ill effects and was cleared to resume normal training on Monday. Also on Los Anexos pitches was Marcos André, scorer of our goal in the opening fixture, who was held out of training on Tuesday due to suspicion of picking up a concussion on Friday evening, but he was green-lighted to return. Joaquin had been replaced after 82 minutes with a sprained ankle, but there were no further concerns and he rejoined group activities on Wednesday. Among those not participating were Jordi Masip, who had been given permission to take some free time after the birth of his second child, long-term injury concern Raul Carnero, Pablo Hervias, El Hassan, and Kike Perez, who's still approximately 8 weeks from a return. Speaking of Marcos André, the Brazilian continues to attract speculation about his future, with various sources stating that Valencia remain fixed in their interest in the striker who netted 4 goals last season, despite missing 13 matches in a row through injury. Diego Ribera, who was assistant coach during Sergio's tenure at the club, spoke very highly of his former player during a radio interview on Cadena Ser. Ribera mentioned that, in his opinion, the 24-year-old is worth €8 million, but that 2 to 3 seasons ago, bids as high as €15 million would have arrived for him. It's interesting to note that during that period, André was yet to feature for the first team, so to me that's possibly a bit high, but it does show the level of admiration that Ribera holds for him. The newspaper Diario de Castilla y León reported that Valencia have returned with a third bid for the player, €5 million and a 25% sell-on fee on future sales. In the same report, the paper states that Real Valladolid are not wishing to entertain bids of less than €10 million. National sports paper Diario AS say that Los Che will indeed return with an increased offer, but that any move for the Putela man will depend on Wolves' interest in current Valencia midfielder Gonzalo Guedes. The newspaper reports that the English side have offered a fee in the region of €25 million for the Portuguese playmaker, but Valencia want more for the 24-year-old. Despite the rumours circulating, it does seem clear that Real Valladolid want to hold on to André, especially as he seems to have inherited the mantle of partnering Sean Weissman up front from Sergio Guardiola. However, the Brazilian has also indicated his desire to play in the top flight if possible, and last season's showings prove that he's more than capable. Putela Escocia will keep you up to date with all the latest. Looking more like leaving the Jose Zorrilla in the near future is Fabian Orellana. The winger was left out of the travelling squad for the match in Gran Canaria and has perhaps played his last minutes in a Real Valladolid shirt. Having arrived last summer from Eibar, Orellana hasn't found the form that made him such an integral part of the Basque side over 2.5 years. He did manage to net 6 goals last term, which was third in the squad, but 5 of those came from the penalty spot, so his overall contributions in terms of finding the net were nothing spectacular. It's without a doubt that Orellana wants to leave the club and he doesn't seem to have a place in Pacheta's plans. The most likely destination for him is a return to his native Chile, with both Universidad Católica and Colo-Colo already holding initial discussions with the player's representatives, according to MSN Chile, with the player reportedly preferring the latter option. Although Real Valladolid's new sporting director Fran Sanchez has stated that no offers for the player have been received and the player still remains under a year's contract with the club, he does also appreciate Orellana's wish to leave. Colo-Colo won the first leg of their cup semi-final tie against Unión Española 4-0 and are in second position in the league, so they would certainly be an attractive prospect to Orellana, more so given that the team is in the market to bolster their attacking options after the departure of Martín Rodríguez in July. Sporting manager of the Santiago-based side, José Daniel Morón, has spoken very warmly of the player, telling Chile's Red Goal website that Orellana is a spectacular name, adding, who would not want to have him in their squad? Well, it seems Pacheta for one. TNT Sports reporting that Orellana has an offer of $40,000 per month on a 2-year contract. It's important to note that the deadline for registering players for the second semester of the season in Chile is fast approaching, and Orellana's departure wouldn't necessarily be the smoothest to negotiate, but there are still several scenarios by which it could take place. One of these would be for Real Valladolid to pay a portion of his salary for the first year of a contract with another team. The second is that he remains with the club and perhaps a firm offer comes in for him in the winter transfer window and he leaves for less money. Lastly, according to the website Entrenadores Fútbol España, they suggest that the termination of his contract by mutual consent would be the most likely plan. It does seem the fairest option for a player who isn't part of his manager's plans, wishes to leave and has a limited span left in his career at 35 years old. Finally, in terms of the exit door, there are whisperings that Deportivo La Coruña, who picked up Carlos Doncel while the last episode was being edited, are also in the market for Sergio Benito and Victor Garcia, both former teammates of Doncel in the Promesas ranks. There still have yet to be any arrivals during the summer transfer window and very few names are linked to joining our squad. One of those few, however, is that of Ivan Alejo, currently of Cádiz. The 26-year-old is a native of Valladolid and featured in Pucela's youth ranks between 2003 and 2011 before moving on to Atletico Madrid under-19s. The winger, who primarily plays on the right, has a wealth of experience in representing Atleti's B team, Villarreal B, Alcorcón, Eibar, Getafe and Malaga before joining Cádiz in August 2020. He has 2 goals and 4 assists in 57 appearances for the Andalusian side. The likely exit of Orellana may well ease the potential arrival of Alejo on what would initially be a temporary deal with the possibility of a permanent move in the future. Plenty to keep an eye on here, so keep it locked on to Pucela Escocia for any developments. Great news now, and with the deadline for renewing season tickets having passed, the club announced that 16,315 renewals have been secured, the most of any club in Segunda. In addition, Diario de Castilla y León noted that it was also the highest number of renewals for Pucela in any of their seasons in this division, underlining the hunger from the faithful to see their side in action. Just over 73% of existing season ticket holders from the 2019-20 campaign chose to renew. That was the last season where fans were permitted into the stadiums. As there are still restrictive measures regarding the maximum number of the public being allowed into matches in Spain, a draw has taken place for 10,000 supporters to receive entry into the José Zorrilla for this Friday's match against Real Zaragoza. There will be more headlines on the next show.
Find out all the latest news, reports and previews on our website at www.pucelascocia.com.
Real Valladolid got their La Liga Smart Bank campaign underway last Sunday evening against Las Palmas in Gran Canaria. It was the first time Pulsella had kicked a ball in the second division in 1,156 days since Saturday, June the 16th, 2018. On that special night, they sealed promotion to Primera by ousting Numancia in the playoff final, with Jaime Mata's late goal earning a 1-1 draw. Three players who featured in that match, Kiko Olivas, Oscar Plano and Tony Villa, were in Pacheta's starting 11 on Friday night, with a repeat of that result coming by way of Jesse cancelling out Marcos Andre's opener for the visitors. In his first league match at the helm of the first team, Pacheta opted for Roberto in goal ahead of Masip. He played a back three of Javi Sanchez, Olivas and Joaquin, with Lucas Olaza and Luis Perez operating more like wing-backs in a 3-4-1-2 formation. Joining them in the midfield were former Las Palmas player Roque Mesa and Villa, who was selected as captain, with Plano nestled in behind a front pairing of André and Sean Weissman. On the bench was Masip, Bruno Gonzalez, Saidi Janko, Nacho, Ruben Alcaraz and Fede Sané Mateiro. There were also places for fringe players Alvaro Aguado and Seko Gassama, both of whom had been out on loan in previous seasons. We started the match the better of the two sides, but it was the hosts who had the first real chance of note. Adalberto Peñaranda popped up on the left flank before cutting inside Perez onto his right foot and struck an angled shot from outside the box, which had Roberto scrambling across his goal. The ball took an awkward bounce, but thankfully spun just past the far post. André got his head to a cross delivered by Perez from the right, but he directed straight at Las Palmas goalkeeper Raúl Fernández. No luck found from that combination on this particular occasion, but better was to come. After a goalless opening half, the team set about finding the breakthrough in the second. André gathered in a pass from the marauding Olaza and produced an almost carbon copy of Peñaranda's effort in the first period, almost identical in distance, angle and power. Unfortunately, it came with the same result, bouncing narrowly past the upright. It was Real Valladolid who did find that all-important opener with a little under 10 minutes played following the restart, and it was that man, Marcos André, who got the crucial touch. Deep into Las Palmas territory down in the corner, Plano cleverly slipped the ball into the path of Perez, who swung in another cross, which the leaping, outstretched Fernandez couldn't get a hand to. This time the Brazilian striker arrived at the back post and took advantage of the goalkeeper being out of position to nod home the first of what will hopefully be many this season in our club's colours. On 64 minutes, Aguado was introduced into the action by Pacheta for his first league minutes in a Real Valladolid shirt since joining us in January 2019. He was brought on in place of Villa, who passed the captain's armband onto Olivas. Roque Mesa departed at the same time to mild applause from the locals, and Sané Mateiro took his place. However, it was a substitute for the home side who crashed the Pulsella party. Jesse, once touted as a great hope for Spanish football, got on the end of a cross from left-back Benito and diverted it past Roberto with his first touch for the equaliser on 64 minutes. This seemed to stun Real Valladolid, and in truth, we didn't look as confident following conceding the goal. Benito blotted his copybook in the 94th minute with a truly awful challenge on Aguado in a 50-50 contest for the ball. The defender saw a second yellow card for the knee-high, studs-up challenge, which, quite frankly, would have warranted a direct red on its own. For those of you keeping score, that's the fifth dismissal in three contests between these sides in what is turning into somewhat of a grudge match, although we still lead that particular category by 4 red cards to 1. There was no time to take advantage of the extra man, and the match petered out into a 1-1 draw, which was ultimately disappointing from our perspective. After the match, which he described as being tough and well disputed, Pacheta spoke to the press. He stated that they had achieved the objective they set out, remarking that the team had played well and the fans should be proud. He added that he felt his players had competed especially well in the second half, where he felt they had more control of the match. He paid tribute to a Las Palmas side who were well organised, especially in the interior. Roque Mesa echoed his manager's thoughts about their opponent's approach to the match. The former Las Palmas midfielder added that they were aware of the host's quality in the middle of the pitch, making it necessary to exploit the wide areas, and this is how the goal came about. My own thoughts? Well, I felt that we played comfortably to start with and even improved early in the second half, but were certainly pegged back by the equaliser. There are definitely positives and negatives I'm taking from Friday. Firstly, it was nice to see a different formation, after so much of the traditional 4-4-2 from Sergio's tenure being employed to frame a cagey and unadventurous approach. I don't think it's going to immediately solve all of our worldly woes, but the players seem to respond well to it, and I think Olaza in particular relished the chance to get forward more in this setup. That's definitely a strength of his game, and he linked up on numerous occasions with Marcos André to play him in, as well as being a quality crosser of the ball. Speaking of the striker, as we seem to have done a lot of in this episode, it's great to see that he appears to have assumed the mantle of the starting strike partner up front with Sean Weissman. He seems to have usurped Guardiola in that role, and not before time, even taking the number 7 shirt from him. However, I do feel that we need to make a big effort to hang on to him. He could be key to taking us back up to the higher level, where he is certainly capable of playing. On the negative side, and I'm only including this for balance, I'm not looking for negatives, I thought that after we conceded, we did lose our way a little bit. It wasn't the same as the last couple of seasons where, after conceding, we would sit back to avoid further damage, but it appeared to me a bit more like being taken aback by it, almost shocked. Perhaps it was a disrupted pre-season, and maybe because of that we aren't in our right rhythm yet, there's no real way of telling. We did play 3 pre-season matches despite having so many cancellations, and I was going to say that last year our full pre-season programme saw us playing 4 matches, but maybe it's best to leave the comparisons with anything to do with last year well alone. Take nothing away from Las Palmas though, they were a compact and organised side who played extremely well in the middle third. They limited us to a few chances while creating a couple of their own. I think they'll do fine in the league this season, and maybe even outdo their 9th placed finishes of the previous 2 campaigns. We meet them again in matchday 32 on the weekend of March 21st or 22nd, or it could be the Friday or Monday night, who knows with Spanish football. They certainly like to keep you waiting till the last moment, don't they? And that's matchday 1 for Real Valladolid in the books, but how did the rest of the league shape up in the opening challenges? Other results around the league saw Huesca's Joaquin Muñoz net the first goal of the season on Friday night, as he helped his side to a 2-0 win over Eibar in a matchup of early favourites for promotion. Both sides had slipped down into Segunda at the end of last season. Our next opponents, Real Zaragoza, drew nothing each at home to newly promoted Ibiza in the other match of the opening night. Xabi Alonso's Real Sociedad B beat Leganés 1-0, Girona saw off new boys Amorebieta 2-0, and Ponferradina beat Alcorcón 1-0 in the Saturday matchups. Before our match on Sunday, Sporting squeaked past league newcomers Burgos 1-0. Lugo grabbed a 2-2 draw at Real Oviedo thanks to a late Joselu penalty, and Tenerife won 2-1 at Fuenlabrada. On Monday night, Malaga drew nothing each at home to Mirandés, while the first round of matches was brought to a conclusion with Almeria winning 3-1 on the road at Cartagena. This means that after one round of matches, it is indeed Almeria who sit at the summit of La Liga Smartbank. Behind them, also on 3 points, are Girona, Huesca, Tenerife, Ponferradina, Real Sociedad B, and Sporting. Lugo are in 8th place on 1 point, followed by Real Oviedo, Las Palmas, Real Valladolid, Mirandés, Málaga, Real Zaragoza, and Ibiza, who are the only one of the 3 promoted sides not to lose on the opening week. On nil pois so far are Fuenlabrada, Alcorcón, Burgos, Leganés, Cartagena, Eibar and Amorebieta, with the latter 3 all in the relegation zone, but it is early days so no one's pressing the panic button yet, are they? Aside from our match on Friday night against Real Zaragoza, my pick of the second round of fixtures is Almeria at home to Real Oviedo, which actually takes place on the same evening. That's not to say that there won't be any entertainment though throughout the rest of the schedule, as Tenerife vs Sporting should be good on Saturday, and Girona against Las Palmas on Sunday also catches my eye. Now, if only there was a podcast which could cover the whole of La Liga Smartbank. I'm talking about all the action, all the comings and goings from across the league with in-depth analysis and discussion, basically catering for all your Spanish Segunda requirements. Oh, wait, there is. The Spanish Segunda Show. Head on over to our friends at Spanish Segunda for all of the above and more. Yes, that's right, more. All the details will be in the episode description, or check them out on Twitter at Spanish Segunda. We'll be right back. Friday night sees the return of league football to the Jose's area for the first time in 89 days and will be the first competitive match with fans taking their rightful place in the stands since March 8, 2020. That's 530 days or 1 year, 5 months and 12 days since the team last took to their home field in a competitive fixture with the backing of their supporters. On that occasion, sadly, it was a 4-1 loss to Athletic Club in front of 21,632. And since that afternoon, Real Valladolid have only managed to win 11 matches in all competitions. To say that fans have been starved of football is an understatement, and there's a real buzz, especially among the 10,000 lucky enough to have secured a ticket. The opponents are Real Zaragoza, a massive club in Spain who have fallen on harder times in recent years. Let's not forget that in addition to being the 9th most successful club in Spain, they have to their name 6 Copa del Rey titles, a Spanish Super Cup, the Intercities Fairs Cup, and they tasted European glory with a triumph in the Cup Winners' Cup in 1995. Who could forget that night in Paris when Naïm broke the 1-1 draw and Arsenal hearts by catching out goalkeeper David Seaman with an audacious lob from the halfway line in extra time to secure the trophy. It was truly an iconic European night, but fast forward and the side from Aragon finished 15th out of 22 teams last season and embarked upon their 9th consecutive term in the second division at the weekend with a goalless draw against newly promoted Ibiza. Since being relegated from Primera at the end of the 2012-13 season, Real Zaragoza have not made it back to the top flight. They came closest in 2018, finishing third but going out in the playoffs to Numancia, who would then go on to lose to us in the promotion final, and then suffering the same fate in 2020, being knocked out at the same stage, this time by Elche. It really has been a frustrating time for fans of a club who have all the history, pedigree and facilities of a Primera level side. There's a massive amount of history between Real Valladolid and Real Zaragoza. In fact, out of all the teams currently in Segunda, there's no one else that we've faced off against more. In addition, they're the 9th most played side in our history with 81 matches between the clubs, just 17 behind Real Madrid on 98. Things could not be more equal among us, with each team winning 27 times, drawing 27 times, and losing 27 times. Not that I was around to see it, but we first met Real Zaragoza away in October 1951, with the hosts winning 2-1, but we took the next 4 matches in a row after that. Our record is much better at home than away, winning 19 of 40 matches in our own stadium, compared with 8 of 41 away. We've won 5 out of the last 10 contests at the Jose Zuria, with 2 draws and 2 losses. The last time these sides met in the penultimate league match of the 2017-18 campaign at La Romareda, Real Zaragoza were dominant and took a 3-2 win behind a hat-trick from Borja Iglesias, albeit 2 of which were from the penalty spot. The hosts also had Inigo Higuera sent off. Tony Villa had made it 1-1 and Fernando Calero's 93rd minute goal made the scoreline more respectable, but that loss almost cost us a shot at the playoffs. 6 of the squad from that last meeting remain Real Valladolid players. Masip started in goals and Olivas, Plano, Villa and Pablo Arvias were also in the initial 11. Anuar, who was an unused substitute that day, remains in our squad but has yet to feature this season. Probably one of the most intriguing aspects of this matchup is that we will face former manager Juan Ignacio Martinez for the first time. The man they call Jim for short was at the helm when Real Valladolid were relegated at the end of the 2013-14 season. In episode 5 of Posel Escocia, I took an in-depth look at the comparisons between that fateful season and how Sergio's men were doing. Feel free to check it out. It was hard to see how Real Valladolid could have done worse than they did under Jim's leadership, but last season we managed it. Martinez was appointed to the helm at La Romareda in December last year, his first role in Spanish football since he departed Almeria after just 17 matches in 2015. He went on to be coach first at Shanghai Shenshin FC and then Meizhou Meixian Taikand FC in China, both of whom are now sadly defunct. And my sincere thanks go to my friend Doug, who lives in China, for his help with the pronunciation. Apologies if I offended anyone. With this match being the first of the second round of games, and league-leading Almeria also in action on Friday night, a positive result is imperative to keep up with the early pace setters in the table. Being stuck on a single point after two matches would be far from ideal for a side who are among the favourites to challenge for the title, but Real Zaragoza will be no pushovers, and Pozela will have their work cut out to claim the spoils. There'll be a full review of the outcome on the next show. It feels like it's only been a couple of days since the last trivia question, and that's probably because it's only been a couple of days since I asked you the last trivia question, but now it's time to give you the answer. I asked you if you could tell me the name of the Real Valladolid player who had scored the most goals in matches between the Blanquivioletas and Las Palmas. The answer is, of course, Víctor José Porras Rodríguez, shortened to Victor and not to be confused with the legendary Victor Fernandez. Our Vic played 73 times between 1983 and 1987, scoring 3 goals against Las Palmas, including a double in a 4-2 home win in 1985 and the winner in a 2-1 home win in 1986. So there you go, every day is a school day on the Pozela Scotia podcast. In the words of Macaulay Culkin in Home Alone, do you guys give up, or are you thirsty for more? If you are in fact thirsty for more, here's this week's question. Rather than being directly related to Real Valladolid, this week I'm going to break with tradition and ask a question about our opponents, Real Zaragoza. I already mentioned that they won the European Cup Winners' Cup against Arsenal in 1995, courtesy of a goal by left-back and current La Liga TV panellist Naim. But can you tell me in that match, what shirt number did Naim wear? So I'm looking for what shirt number did Naim have when Real Zaragoza won the Cup Winners' Cup final? Let me know either by emailing the show on marty@pozelascocia.com, remember that's Marty with an I, tweeting me on @martyrvcf, or on the show's new Twitter account @pozelascocia. I'll have to update the jingles now, won't I? You can also enter via Instagram @PozelaScotia or search for the show on Facebook. Loads of ways to get in touch, so if you know the answer or wish to add any comments or questions about Real Valladolid or Spanish football in general, please don't hesitate to send me a message because I'd love to hear from you. Before we go, there's just time to point you in the direction of Liam Bambridge's Twitter account, which provides information on our next opponent, Real Zaragoza. Liam's a massive fan of the club and also guests on the wonderful Spanish Segunda show, so you can be sure he's got a great handle on his club and the league in general. You can find him over on @LiamBambridge71, and I'll pop that in the show notes too.
Next time on the Pozela Scotia podcast.
Get all the latest headlines, transfer rumours and more. We'll take a look back at how the match against Real Zaragoza went. There'll be another quick spin around the league to get all the latest results. I'll have a look at our Match Day 3 competition, Club Deportivo Lugo. With a little bit more time to play with, I'll finally bring you up to speed with the latest news from the Promesas and Real Valladolid Baloncesto. I'd hoped to do it this week, but there was just so much to cover that I thought we could put that back to the next episode. There'll be more trivia coming your way. All of that and much, much more, which I've actually still to decide exactly what that will be. For now though, thank you so much for listening to Pozela Escocia. Please do get in touch if you have anything to add. Please also subscribe to the show on your favourite platform and tell your dog, your cat, your milkman, your teacher, whoever, to have a listen as we continue to grow the podcast together. Most importantly, please stay safe and be kind to each other, and I look forward to being with you again on the next episode of Pozela Scotia, where hopefully we'll have 3 points to talk about. Until then, thank you and goodbye.